chapter 12.
Deep truths
staring at us out of the chapter. First one's found in the first verse. And there appeared a great wonder, and the word "in" actually should be before heaven. There appeared a great wonder before heaven, a woman clothed with the sun. And I've called this the wonder of the woman. We will need a minute or two to tease this out, because there have been great debates about this down through the years. Who is this woman? So we're dealing with the wonder of the womb. And then I will venture to say this. Out of all the chapters in your wonderful Bible, you will not get a chapter anywhere in the Old Testament or New Testament that will give you more details of the devil than this one. I'm perfectly sure the devil doesn't like the chapter we're at this evening, because you will find more details about the devil in chapter 12 of the book of the Revelation than anywhere else in the Bible. And remember, I have preached here for about 12 weeks on the devil, so I know something about it. So that we have the wonder of the woman and the details of the devil, and then we're going to have a look at the course of the child. There was a man child born, and he took a course, and we'll travel along the course this evening. And then of course we have the appearance of Michael the archangel, and he's a mighty messenger of the Lord. And we shall look at the wonder of the woman, the details of the devil, the course of the child, and the might of Michael. Now let's begin at the beginning. Verse 1. And there appeared a great wonder in the heavens, or before the heavens, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And in verse 5 it says, and she brought forth a man-child, who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. Well, you have no doubts at all about who the child is, because there is no man-child in the book that was spoken of as the ruler of all nations but Christ. And there was no man-child ever born in this world who went right up to the throne of God but Christ. So we have settled the child just for the moment. But the mother's not as easily settled as that, or the woman's not as easily settled as that. You see, some of the scholars, and especially these fellows who don't like dispensational truth, they try to make out that the woman is the church. Now, when was Jesus Christ ever the child of the church? I would love to know. Why Jesus Christ came here, and when he was here, he said, I will build my church. I would think that ought to have settled it for them. I don't even think there's an argument in that at all. But you know, there's far greater argument in the Roman Catholic argument. Roman Catholics claim this chapter with every fiber of their being. And they say, here is the Virgin Mary. Now, there is no doubt at all that we have got the child. And the child is Jesus. And you know, the Roman Catholic Church is about to exalt Mary to the very highest. For many years, she has been called the Queen of Heaven by the Roman Catholic Church. And if you ask any Roman Catholic scholar how he would substantiate this claim, he would bring you here. And he would show you the woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, the 12 stars in her brow, and he'll say, this is the Queen of Heaven, and this is the Virgin Mary who brought forth Jesus. And a good lot of you Protestants would be stumped too. Am I right? Can you go any further now? Well, the argument wouldn't hold water for 2 seconds with anybody who knew anything. Now let me show you. You see, we've got a woman here, and you'll find that she's clothed with the sun and the moon's under her feet, and the crown of stars, or 12 stars, is on her head. But you'll find that this woman who brought forth the man-child in verse 5 is fleeing in verse 6. And the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared of God that they should feed her there. And watch this wee bit. 1,260 days. Are we back to the old period that we had in the last chapter? Are we back to the 3.5 years of the tribulation? Oh, of course we are. Because I would ask the Roman Catholic scholars, is Mary coming back from heaven to go through the tribulation? Ah, now you're beginning to get light, aren't you? No, Mary's not going through any tribulation. You see, it's substantiated here. Verse 13. When the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time. 3.5 again. A time, and times, and half a time. 3.5. From the face of the serpent. You see, this woman is definitely going to be in the great tribulation. And she's going to be sheltered in the great tribulation by the wings of Jehovah. You remember when God was talking about Israel in her early days, he said, I bore you on eagle's wings. And so the wings that bore her up in her early days, they're going to be the protector at the end. This is not the Virgin Mary. This is Israel. And you know, in a real sense, it was Israel that brought forth the man-child. But we'll see it deeper in a moment or two, and maybe clearer. I want you to notice this first verse. You'll notice that the woman is clothed with the sun. And you'll notice that the moon is under her feet. And you'll also take note of the crown of 12 stars. And I think that almost everyone who reads of the moon and the sun and the 12 stars, especially when the 12 stars are there, they must think of the dream that Joseph had. Remember Joseph's dream. Have a look at it. In Genesis 37, book of Genesis, chapter 37, verse 5, And Joseph dreamed a dream and told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose, and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about, and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us? Or shalt thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars. Yes, he was the 12th one, you know, himself. So he can only see the 11. Made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and to his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. You see, his father recognized the whole family. I want you to get that. His father recognized the whole family of Israel. Shall I and your mother and your brethren bow down to you? Way back there, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars was representing the whole family of Israel. And I'm perfectly sure it's the same back where we are tonight. But you know, there is a wonderful word in Romans chapter 9. Have a look at it. Romans chapter 9. Paul has some nice things to say about Israel here. Verse 1, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came. Yes, he came from Israel. Came from this woman that's here. But you know, I think that there's something even deeper here that you need to get the hold of. You see, any remnant of Israel at any time represented with Israel. And I believe that where we are, way back here in Revelation 12, we're about to see the tribulation period in all its fullness. Those 3.5 horrible years. Well, in those 3.5 horrible years, there will be a remnant brought out of Israel. We saw them in chapter 7. 12,000 from each tribe. 144,000. And they will be the only light this world will have. And in that sense, the woman will be clothed with the sun. They'll be bringing light. And when the darkness deepens in the depths of the tribulation period, when there's no light, there will still shine as the moon. And every tribe will be there, the whole 12 of them, represented. This is the woman in the tribulation period, bringing the only light that this world ever had. And it was Israel that brought forth Christ. And Israel will be in the tribulation. And so the chapter fits now. We've got the woman. Now I want you to see this. She being with child cried, travailing in breath, pain to be delivered. I believe that we are getting a view of the remnant even before Christ was born. See, I want you to watch this remnant. Remember that when Christ was born, there was just that little remnant that waited for redemption in Jerusalem. And if you go down the ages, in every period, under David, under Solomon, and further back, right to Abraham, you get the little remnant from Israel who longed and groaned and mourned that they might bring forth the Messiah. So it's the remnant right through here. But watch this. Never mind the devil for a moment. Look at verse 5. And she brought forth a man-child. My friends, this is the remnant when Christ was born. Oh, what rejoicing there was in the house of Zechariah and Elizabeth. What rejoicing came from old Simeon. What rejoicing came from that little remnant that waited for the Messiah's appearing. And then we go on into the tribulation period. And you see the remnant that will be there, this 144,000. And God will shelter them with his great wings. And they'll be in the wilderness. And they'll be nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. I don't think that we have any trouble here at all. But let's have a look at the details of the devil in this chapter, because these are really mighty. Look at verse 3. And there appeared another wonder in heaven. Behold, a great red dragon. Now, we have never had that sort of description before. When we get the word great in, it's just showing us the great ability the devil has. And we must never underestimate this. He has great ability. When we get the word dragon in, we think of his ferocity. When we get the word red dragon in, my, we can see the horror of the ferocity of one who has great ability. So the words are well placed. But watch what it says. A great red dragon having seven heads. Seven is the perfect number, and heads speak of wisdom. You know, when he was created, the book said he was perfect in wisdom. My, when we start to match our little wits against the devil, we're on the losing side. I was talking to the boys at tea time tonight, and we were talking about arguing with people. One of them said, if you left the scriptures and went into reasonings, how would that do? That won't do. If you start to match your wits against the devil and make a fool of you, the only thing that you can do is bring the word of God, because your master taught you that. And in the temptations in the wilderness, he didn't argue with the devil. He just dipped into the book of Deuteronomy and used the sword against the devil. Three times from the book. Always quote the book. Don't use your own little wits, for the devil will outwit you. He's got great wisdom. But you see here, not only the great red dragon, seven heads, but look at the ten horns. You know, horns speak of power. But I believe that the word ten here, you must match it up with the ten toes of Daniel's image. I believe we're seeing the devil in those last days when he'll have power in Central Europe like he never had before. We're about to get the common market settled, or it'll be settled one of these days. And there will be 10 kingdoms, 10 toes, and the devil will have full sway in the common market. And we'll see more of that before we're much older. But you can see this, the 7 heads and 10 horns, and then 7 crowns upon his heads. You know, that means perfect majesty. He'll rule just as he wishes, because the church will be gone, the Holy Ghost will be gone, there'll only be a little remnant there to shine, but he'll have full sway. And so we're seeing a great detailed picture of the devil. But watch these details. Verse 4, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. I don't think that these are the stars that we look out at tonight in the heavens. The word stars there is the old Greek word, and it could be translated angels. When you go down to verse 9, it says the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels, that's the same word, was cast out with him. So that the devil, by his subtlety, this tale would speak of subtlety, by his subtlety, he drew a lot of the angels, and they fell with him. And so you can see that he's the leader of these fallen angels. Now, at verse 2, you'll watch this. It says, and the dragon stood at verse 4, and the dragon stood before the woman which was ready to be delivered for to devour her child. You know, he's always been the devourer of Christ. He has tried to. You know, there was a day when he stood in the Garden of Eden. And God came down in the cool of the day and got Adam and Eve out. And after he had spoken to them, he looked at the devil and he said, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. And then he said, her seed shall bruise thy head. And you know, the devil knew that there was a battle on. And the woman, mind you, it's very debatable whether God was even looking down the ages at the virgin, or whether he was looking down the ages at Israel. It's very debatable. But God was telling the devil that the woman would produce the seed that would bruise his head. And from that moment, he's out for battle. Why, the very first man that was born was Cain. The first man that was born. Why, the devil wondered, was this the one that was coming? And so he so subtly worked on this heart that this man became a murderer. And the second man that came was slain. And you'll find that right down through the pages of Scripture, as soon as he knows that Abraham's called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and God said, and in thy seed. And he didn't say seeds, because Galatians makes it clear. He said seed, which is Christ. Christ coming through you, Abraham, will bless the world. He's out after Abraham and his seed from that moment. And then when he learned that it was not only the seed of Abraham, but the tribe of Judah, he's out to blot out the royal tribe of Judah. And there came a time in the heart of the Old Testament that the royal line had only one child left. He almost succeeded, and the little child was lifted and hid, and the line was maintained. And of course, I don't need to educate you that when Christ was born and the cry went round, the king is born, the seed of the woman had come. You remember how the little children were slain. My, he was out to devour the child. And then in the temptation, he tried to devour again. And then at long last, he places him on the cross. And he thinks now
that once he steps into death, it's my territory. I've always held sway there. Death doesn't belong to God.
Not at all. Life belongs to God.
The moment he comes into my territory, he's finished.
Ah, but it was through death that Christ destroyed him who had the power of it. Because he rose triumphant from the dead, and on the third day he squeezed the serpent's head. He's been the devourer. I'll tell you a wee bit more. If you're a man or a woman, and your big aim in life is to take Christ to the people, he'll devour you. I'm telling you now. If you've your mind made up that the woman next door will see Christ in you, something will happen to you. If you go to a meeting and you're absolutely decided in your heart that you'll do nothing among them save Christ and him crucified, the devil will be on your track. My, there's a dear old missionary sitting right there, look. Molly Harvey. And she's been 30 years away down the river yonder in the Acre. And she took Christ to those people. Aye, well, there was a night when a fella came round in the dark and threw her in the river and battered her with a stick and tried to take her life. That was the devil, that's what it was. Do the same for you too if you stand up for him.
Men that take Christ to the people, you ought to have a plan for them.
Devil will try to devour them. Sometimes the boys that should be praying are the boys that sink ye. That's where I find it anyway. You're doing the devil's work, that's what you're doing. Devouring the men that God has sent. Watch this. The devil's not only the leader of fallen angels, we got that in verse 4. And the devourer of Christ, and we got that in verse 4. And now we're down at verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. You know, he's the fighter of holy angels. Somebody started an argument in the barbers with me yesterday. Should the saints go to war? Man, they love to pick bits out, don't they? I said, well, the archangel had no quibbles about it. Had he? Archangel didn't seem to have any conscience about going to war. For there was a war in heaven. And the archangel fought against the devil, and so would I too. I would have no quibbles at all. Wouldn't give me any quibbles. My, if the men that laid down their lives in the last war had not gone, we wouldn't be here tonight. The Hitler regime would have the whole bunch of us at the backside of Siberia somewhere. Remember, the devil's back. Things, and you have to fight the devil every way. You know what Nicholson did when a fellow reared up in the meeting? He just went down the steps and got him by the neck and threw him through the door and down the steps and then closed the door. Walking in, an old woman said, "The Lord wouldn't have done that." He said, "No, the Lord could have threw the devil out of the man, but I had to throw man and devil in over." Yes, he's the fighter. Now let's get on with it. See verse 10. "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren." Oh, this is the same old devil. Yes, he is the leader of fallen angels, the devourer of Christ, the fighter of holy angels. Ah, I left a bit out, didn't I? In verse 9, he's called the deceiver of the whole world. And now in verse 10, he's the accuser of the brethren. You know, there are great lessons here for us. That old clock's beating me. There are great lessons. You know, friend, never hinder anybody that's preaching Christ. Never hinder. Because you'll be doing the devil's work. That's what you'll be doing. And never deceive anybody. You know, sometimes a mother going to hospital and she knows her girl's going to die says to me, "Mr. Mung, don't you tell her she's going to die." "I'll tell her she's going to die if she asks me." I tell you, friends, if you start to do the devil's work, you're in a fix. I will deceive nobody for anybody. If you don't want me to go, I'll say to her, "It's all right." But if she asks me, I'll tell her where she's heading for. Friend, if we were as staunch as this and everything, no deception. When you deceive, you're doing the devil's work. He deceives the whole world. And you know, when your old tongue begins waggling and you begin to accuse the brethren, you're working overtime for the devil. Because that's his job. You're right in on the job. And you're working overtime and he'll not pay you, mind you. Now watch again. You see verse 13? He's the persecutor of Israel. Mind you, I'm perfectly sure that when Hitler took the notion to burn 6 million Jews, I'm positively sure it was the devil that put it in his heart. He was doing the devil's work. He's the persecutor of Israel. Watch again. You see down there at the very last verse, 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. You see, that's what I'm telling you. This is the remnant. Well, he's the murderer of the remnant. Oh, what details we have of the devil. He's the leader of fallen angels. He's the devourer of Christ. He's the fighter of holy angels. He's the deceiver of the world. He's the accuser of the brethren. He's the persecutor of Israel. He's the murderer of the remnant. There's the devil for you. What a picture you've got of the devil. I told you that there were more details in chapter 12 than anywhere else in the book. Man, the devil's exposed tonight. I'm positively sure he's fighting hard in this meeting. But let's get another bit in. Have a look at the child, the course of the child. This fifth verse, really a wonderful one. And she, that is Israel, brought forth a man-child. Now, the moment we touch man, we're touching the humanity of Christ. And the moment we touch child, we're touching the humility of Christ. You know, friends, I can never impress you enough that Jesus Christ really became human. He was the perfect human. He had a body and soul and spirit. He was a perfect human. But wait till I tell you this. He began as a child. Well, this is really amazing. You know, he lay in a mother's arms. He's got the strength of a child. And yet at that psychological second, he was upholding all things by the power of his might. And that's the mystery of the incarnation. He's got the mind of a child. Ah, that staggers you, doesn't it? You can't say he's a true child if he hasn't got the mind of a child. Paul says, when I was a child, I thought as a child. But at the psychological second, when that mind is there that must grow in wisdom, at that very psychological second, he knew all things. You see, he became what he never was before, a child. But he didn't cease to be what he'd always been. He was God. Oh, it's a mighty one, isn't it? But can't you see the humility? that he who was in the form of God, that he who had all power, that he who was unlimited in knowledge, that he should become a little child. It staggers you. You can't grapple with it, I know. But when you touch the word man, you touch humanity. When you touch the word child, you touch humility. Now watch this. Who was to rule? That's his responsibility. To rule all nations. That's the universality of his reign. Jesus shall reign where'er the sun. But watch this. With a rod of iron. Why, that's his ability. Are you getting it? The man is his humanity. The child is his humility. Who was to rule? That's his responsibility. All nations, that's the universality. With a rod of iron, that's up to God. That's his glory. That's his everlasting. Now on, and the cross is the fourth. This born king, the one the remnant waited on. And the king is seen here, caught up on the throne. Why, when God took him back, the second psalm was brought into fulfillment. I have set my king upon my holy hill of Zion. Sit thou here till I make thine enemies thy footstool. My, we're looking at the king and how lovely it's done. And so you can see the course of the king, I should have put it. But I put it the course of the child, to keep your notes the way they ought to be kept. And so we've seen the wonder of the woman and the details of the devil and the course of the child. Don't think I need to go into the notes, the introduction, he was born, then the persecution. My, the devil was waiting to devour him. Now you see the coronation and the exaltation. And now we come to this other mighty character that's in the scriptures. Michael, the archangel. Mind you, I think that only five times in the whole book do we have Michael mentioned. I think I should say this for the younger people. Remember, he's the archangel. There are no archangels. There are angels and cherubims and seraphims, but there is only one archangel. Only one. His name is Michael. Now, I want you to get this. I don't need to go back to Daniel 10, because I think the class knows this, that when Daniel got down and prayed for 21 days and got through to God, and the answer was sent by another angel, that angel couldn't get down with the answer because the wicked fallen angels kept him back. And then Michael came and cleared the coast and let him through. You see, he's got a celestial work to do. When there's trouble in the heavens with these fallen angels, or these rulers of the darkness of this world, all these principalities and powers, he comes to do battle. He's got a celestial work to do. But in Daniel chapter 12, Daniel's talking about Michael, the prince that shall stand for my people. He's got a national work to do. Somehow or other, he's detailed to look after Israel. I would say that he's the ambassador from heaven to the courts of Israel, looking after Israel. So he's got a celestial work to do, and he's got a national work to do. Oh, but here's a bit. You know, when they were going to bring Moses back out of the grave, they're going to resurrect this body of Moses. They're going to let him stand on the mount now. You know, the devil had an argument with Michael the archangel. Devil wasn't going to let him take him out. Devil was going to say, well, now he's in my territory. And he's dead. And that dust is lying in my territory. And the price is not paid yet. You see, Christ must die. So he was going to argue it out. But the Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world in the mind of God, you know. And God can do just exactly as he wants to do, so he has to stand aside while the body is raised. But you can see that Michael, the archangel, has got a physical job to do. You know, when our Lord Jesus comes, and come he will, one of these nights, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Now watch. With the voice of the archangel. What's he got to do with it? Because he's going to call out every saint that died in Israel. He's got the job to look after their bodies. He's going to bring them out. And at the psychological moment that the saints of this age rise to meet the Lord in the air, Michael will call out the bodies of the saints of the old economy and will rise together to meet the Lord in the air. For the job he's got. He's got the celestial job. And he's got a national one, and he's got a physical one. So he's a mighty personality. You know, he comes on the scene here. You can see his appearance. Comes quickly. It says, verse 7, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels. You see, he's got a mighty army with him. Fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels and prevailed not. Neither was there any place found, neither was there place found any more in heaven. Or that word should be in the heavens. And the great dragon was cast out of the heavens. That old serpent. You can't miss this. Called the devil and Satan. You'd think the Holy Ghost was afraid that we would miss it. The great dragon. That old serpent. Called the devil and Satan. Which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. You see, that tells me that this day hasn't come yet. You see, he's still working in the heavens tonight. But you know, I've noticed this. In the days of Job in the Old Testament. You know, when the angels of God came in to tell about the work they had done, the devil came and stood with them. You know, he was allowed into heaven in those days, right into God's heaven, before God's throne. But when our Lord Jesus Christ died and rose again and went back and sat down, not allowed in anymore. He's in the heavens now, just in the second heavens. My, there are mighty things go on up there. Angels are there. Principalities and powers are there. The rulers of the darkness of this world is there. And the old devil himself is there. You see, where you find Christ, you'll always find the devil under his feet. And then when Christ rises from yon throne, and he comes to the air. Oh, did he ever stop to ask the question, why did he just come to the air? Because that's what the devil is. And the moment he comes to the air, why, the devil will have to come to the earth. And that's the moment we're looking at. He'll be thrown out. As the church goes up, he'll be thrown out. Then he'll start that period of tribulation. He'll come to the earth to indwell the Antichrist, and we'll see him in chapter 13 next week. And I'll tell you this, after a while, the Lord will come away from heaven and he'll come to the very earth. Well, the devil go there, to the bottomless pit. Always deep. Always under the feet of Christ. Don't miss that bit. But I tell you, that when he comes to the earth, if the church were to leave tonight, meet the Lord in the air, and the old devil was to take possession of this earth, God pity the folk that will be left behind. But next week we'll enter into it, see it for ourselves,